Today's sermon is the sermon on homosexuality. The Ten Commandments are God's divine standard of law. How Satan has hated and railed against the Ten Commandments, for they so expose his evil. Now this sermon is how Satan is today very successfully using the sin of homosexuality to overthrow the Ten Commandments. Oh, how great has been his success, for the Ten Commandments are on the verge of utter destruction. Obviously, if the Ten Commandments are destroyed, all of Christendom is destroyed, and then Satan will be victorious. Yes, whether you believe it or not, we are on that edge today, at the edge of the cliff of destruction. We are ready to perish as Christians. Now, obviously, I made a very, very serious charge against establishment Christendom today, which I, of course, must prove. Please listen carefully as I prove out of Scripture our only sure guide beyond a shadow of doubt that the sin of homosexuality destroys both the Ten Commandments and Christendom. Now, this sermon is the 23rd in our series of the 29 ways which illustrate how establishment Christendom in this wicked and perverse generation has perverted not only Scripture and the Ten Commandments, but the very teachings which the Holy Spirit has given to our godly forefathers and to the church over the last 6,000 years. Oh, yes, these are desperate times where God is thundering judgment upon us from heaven, and as have never been seen before. These are the last days of the last days. Yes, the time of the ten virgins, which God warns us of in Matthew 25, verse 5. Listen, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept and wept and slumbered and slept. Do you hear that horrible reality? That word, all. In the time shortly before Jesus comes on the clouds, he shall find that all Christians slept. All of Christendom are lulled to sleep by Satan, including the very elect. Imagine that. And tragically, we can see an example of that today, where 99% of Christendom appears to be willing to accept the sin of homosexuality within their churches as some kind of new imaginary holiness. Oh, who can fathom that? All God's dear children, so utterly deceived that they are sleeping with Satan as he operates as the head of Christendom. Jesus warns of this reality when he says, "When I come again, will I even find faith on earth?" What horrible words. We can see God thundering his hyper-exceeding anger from the plague reality all around us in the pandemic of COVID-19, which God has certainly sent in his wrath across the world. Yes, you hear his voice. Yes, the plagues are directly from God. It is the finger of God resting upon us, sent by him upon us living wickedly in this wicked and perverse generation. He has sent it. He has brought all the people in the countries of the world to their knees, quaking in fear in their homes from an invisible virus. God has warned us of our sins. But are you part of that very small remnant which have been given spiritual ears to hear and are desperately concerned at the wicked direction counterfeit Christendom is being taken today, led by the hand of Satan, who has cunningly disguised himself as an angel of light? Oh, impossible horror, but a reality. And now our subject this morning is, as we said, the sin of homosexuality, which Satan is using to overthrow the Ten Commandments and Christendom. Now God in Scripture has condemned the sin of homosexuality over 30 times. 30 times in both the Old and the New Testament. But Satan is working day and night to use this sin to overthrow the Ten Commandments and Christendom. Now in this sermon, we will see how he is using the sin of homosexuality to overthrow the Ten Commandments. And unlike so many sins, this sin is easily detectable, for it is open, definable, obvious, and a physical sin. How our godly church forefathers, Luther and Calvin and the Puritans, if they could come alive today, would laugh us to scorn at Christendom's apparent acceptance of the sin of homosexuality as somehow being a new kind of holiness. How they would faint in horror to see that their church descendants from the Reformation, for we are from the Reformation, could and would have sunk so unfathomably low to embrace open sin as some kind of new holiness, and to willfully destroy the Ten Commandments. How they would thunder condemnation upon us. Oh, does that not horrible prospect haunt you, that if you embrace this sin and your church and you do not repent, yes, you will certainly meet at all the thousands of our godly church forefathers standing at heaven's closing door, laughing you to scorn and shaming your foolishness. Does that not terrify you? When you hear the Jesus condemning voice thundering at you those awful words at the closed door, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Oh, let us hear that warning today. Let us take it to heart. Don't forget, Jesus' rejection of you will not, unless you repent, will not be only for those who embrace the sin of homosexuality. Oh, no. But it will also be for all the other thousands of sins listed in the Bible. Thousands of other unrepented sins will also be condemned and rejected by Jesus on that awful day. For no sin can enter heaven. Does that warning not stop you in your tracks and force you to consider what Christendom has become today? Now, before we begin, we need to say that the sin of homosexuality is not even the biggest sin in God's hierarchy of sins, for there are a few sins even larger. We must also emphasize that God hates the sin, not the sinner. God has made the human perfect as the masterpiece of His creation, but He eternally hates any sin attached to and embraced by His masterpiece. Yes, no true Christian may hate the person who sins, but rather must hate only their sin attached to them, what they embrace, because all sin dishonors God and His law. God commands that we pray for every person, as all people are our brothers, as all are equal masterpieces of creation. Let me say it again. No true Christian may hate the person who sins any of the thousands of sins listed in the Bible. Christians may not hate the person of homosexuality, but they hate his sin of homosexuality. We may not hate the person of adultery, the blasphemer, the thief, the liar, the blasphemer, and so forth. We must rather pray earnestly for their repentance. He asks, the very hallmark of a true Christian is that they must hate all sin, no matter what size, shape, color, or context it comes in. Not the person exhibiting that sin. And the obvious reason is that God warns us, such were some of you before God opened our eyes by grace. Also, it is important to point out that no one has sinned so greatly that they can never find repentance, except for those who have sinned the sin against the Holy Ghost. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. But we must know that God is a God of order, a God of black and white. There are no gray areas with God. His word means exactly what he says 30 times. Yes, the Bible cannot be more clear that the sin of homosexuality is a special sin of our day against the seventh commandment and against God's redemptive plan for the salvation of mankind. Now, the problem in Christendom today is that Christian leaders and people want to choose which sins they personally allow, not adhering to what sins are condemned in the Bible, a man-made law over God's law. Tragically, Christendom today is willing to destroy the Ten Commandments and Christendom on that altar of political and spiritual correctedness guides so much of Christendom. Such are obviously more concerned with the approval of man and the numbers in their church and their property rather than the approval from God. But God says something far different. Thus saith the Lord, fear not man who can only kill the body, but fear God who can kill both the body and the soul. Yes, over 30 times, God calls the sin of homosexuality by the worst possible terms, as a detestable sin, as an abomination, as repulsive before His eyes. Now, if God condemns something even once in Scripture, that's enough. What must 30 times be 30 times? God uses His strongest word, which describes the worst kind of sin, the most abominable, the most detestable in His sight, as we said. But the sin of homosexuality is just one of the thousands of sins identified in the Bible. However, we need to focus on this and speak about this one today, only because it has especially and insidiously been used to deceive so many Christians in this wicked and perverse generation of Christendom and their counterfeit leaders. Yes, today God calls us to deal with just one of those thousands of sins, the sin of homosexuality, which has been especially used by Satan to spread such destruction in Christendom. And we want to explore how this sin ultimately destroys the Ten Commandments and Christendom. Now, our scripture for this morning on the subject of the sin of homosexuality is from Genesis 19, verses 12 through 25. Come then, let us bow in the dust before His feet to hear what the Lord has to say to us this morning. He is speaking. Yes, He is entering His temple to speak to us today. His glory fills His throne. His train fills the temple. His majesty fills the heaven. Let us hear Him. Let us imitate all the angels today and bow down and shout at the top of our souls' voices, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of hosts. Yes, pray that we may be brought here in the Spirit today, and we may receive from God ears to hear and hearts to discern. For what a solemn subject we have before us today, as we see how the Lord used the city of Sodom as an example of God's wrath and destruction against the sin of homosexuality. Yes, this fiery destruction of Sodom was designed by Him to put terror into the hearts of all the future governments and all the countries of the world's government concerning any countries officially adapting and embracing this sin of homosexuality, refusing to do it because they fear God's judgment of the rain of fire and brimstone upon their land and utterly destroying it. And yes, God's warning worked, for every country and their governments trembled in fear for 4,000 years at Sodom's example of God's destructive wrath against the sin of homosexuality. That was true until America's boldness and the sins of this wicked and perverse generation have broken loose past all of God's boundaries. Oh, we may well fear that Sodom's destruction may also soon come upon America unless we repent. God will not be mocked. We have sinned greatly against Him. Let us repent today, for COVID-19 is an example of His wrath. Listen then, thus saith the Lord in Scripture. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are with thee, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hands, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him outside of the city Sodom. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for your life. Look not behind you, neither stay thou in all the plain. Flee to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he, Jesus, said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Hasten, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until you become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the city when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word of the destruction of the city of Sodom because of their sin of homosexuality. Now this morning, we will look at the sin of homosexuality in two main points. First, how the sin of homosexuality is being used by Satan to eliminate the Ten Commandments and destroy Christendom. Secondly, the Trinity's revulsion and abhorrence for this abominable sin of homosexuality. Now in the first point of how Christendom and the church acceptance of the sin of homosexuality within the church as some kind of new holiness destroys and eliminates the Ten Commandments, which obviously also destroy the church. This should be blatantly obvious. Sin always destroys. Gathering into your bosom only destroys. For the Ten Commandments can be pictured as a ten-pillared bridge between God and man, where even if one pillar collapses, the whole bridge becomes impossible. Our forefathers recognized the three pillars of the true church, which are first, preaching the pure word of God, second, the proper use of the sacraments, and the third, which we want to focus on, the discipline of open disobedience. These three pillars are critical elements necessary to maintain a pure church in God's eyes. Now, looking at the seventh commandment, which is God's prohibition against sexual acts outside of the marriage of one man and one woman. For if the grossest part of disobedience to the seventh commandment, the very act of homosexuality, which is condemned over 30 times in Scripture, is now somehow accepted and in the church and made into a new holiness within the church, it makes the rest of the seventh commandment and any lesser acts of disobedience against the seventh commandment completely unenforceable. And thus the seventh commandment becomes null and void because it cannot be enforced if you accept the worst. Equally, this is true for any enforcement of any of the Ten Commandments by the church. If one commandment is unenforceable, then it renders all the Ten Commandments unenforceable. We cannot have selective thinking. Thus, the Ten Commandments are made null and void. Do you see how easily it can happen? Christendom must then operate without the Ten Commandments, which would thus make Christendom itself null and void in God's eyes. Stand back for a moment and try to imagine that incredible scenario where Christianity must be without the Ten Commandments because they are unenforceable. Does that bitter reality not take your breath away? But know for certain, but that is exactly what course Christendom is on today when they are accepting the sin of homosexuality within the church. Oh, do you see what a slippery slope, a deadly slope that is, and it ending in hell? Yes, when the church accepts and calls even one sin some kind of new kind of holiness, because we have to get with the times, or so many people want it, or any of the hundreds of other excuses churches are using today, you may know God is hyper exceedingly jealous for the purity of His church, His bride, and He will rather and instead destroy that church before He will accept any sin that he finds in her? Oh, what shall it be when a church or a named Christian accepts open sin in any form, in any of the thousand sins? Yes, God has already destroyed his corrupt church 31 different times in history because they willingly sinned. Each time God left only a small remnant behind, hidden away in the secret places of the land, like as he left 7,000 in the 10 tribes of Israel when Israel so apostatized in Elijah's day. Today we see 99% of Christendom and its 250,000 American churches in this generation relentlessly pursuing the pathway toward accepting the open, outrageous sin of homosexuality into their church in some form as the new kind of holiness. Oh, we know, and we can say with absolute certainty, we know that God shall surely spew them out. They shall meet a closed door at heaven's gate. Oh, God says, come out from them. Oh, God says, come out from them. Do you hear? We see God's dividing hand already in declaring that 5 of the 7 churches in Revelations, which did not meet his standards, he was ready to spew them out, to destroy them if they did not repent. Oh, what must it be for us? Oh, do not fall for the trick word Satan is using today, that word compassion. Compassion. Vainly imagining that we need to be compassionate, that God will be compassionate and somehow wink at some sins, especially the sin of homosexuality. But I must tell you, no, for certain, only sins repented of and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ will be accepted at heaven's door. Yes, Jesus hates all the thousands of sins we are describing and that are listed in the Bible. And yes, that includes the sin of homosexuality, not the sinner himself. Yes, Jesus wept over sinners, but he never, never, never wept one tear for their sins. Not one. Jesus has absolutely no compassion for sin. It is the height of insanity to imagine Jesus has compassion for sin. He never has. He never will. Instead, Jesus violently crushes and destroys sin. Jesus came eagerly for the war against sin. He insists in fighting this war against sin, and he is aggressively at the front lines 24/7, 365. Yes, Jesus rides triumphantly on his white horse of victory. Yes, Jesus rejoices exceedingly as he violently stands on the bloody neck of sin. Yes, his garments are red with blood in this battle trampling against sin, destroying sin. Yes, Jesus rushes enthusiastically into the battle and the war against sin. He knows the only way is forward, for any sin which comes between him and his grand goal of restoring his Father's kingdom must be destroyed. This he says in Luke 12, verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Yes, he has declared his singular goal is to destroy sin and redeem man. And Jesus shouts joyfully as he tramples sin to death, gleefully crushing all of Satan's devices. It is Jesus' delight to destroy sin. He clearly tells us he did not come to bring peace, but war. War against any and all sins listed in the Bible. Listen to the Bible describe this violent war with his vesture dripping in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. His garment is stained from trampling sin to death in the great winepress of humanity. Just look at Revelation 19, verse 14, and he, Jesus, was clothed in stained blood. Yes, one day his trampling, destroying work of sin will be completed as all the sins found within his dear children is destroyed and they can enter heaven because he has destroyed all sin in them and transform them into his image. Oh, when we read Jesus' violent, bloody, destructive work of sin 24/7, 365 in destroying sin, can anyone in their wildest imagination believe Jesus is some imaginary concept of compassion has somehow changed from 6,000 years of history, and his hate of homosexuality, and perish the thought, now loves and wants the sin of homosexuality added to his church? Oh, perish. Perish the very thought. Not one reasonable person in their wildest imagination could fathom such utter nonsense. Jesus is busy eliminating sin, trampling sin, destroying sin, not adding sin to his church. Yes, Jesus' compassion is limited to saving souls, not to saving some cherished human sin within that soul. Let me say it again. A compassionate Jesus seeks to save souls from sin, not to save some cherished sin within their souls, such as the sin of homosexuality. Oh, what a day and night difference. What a huge difference This kind of Jesus compassion is from today's idea of compassion of political correctness and human reasoning. But in today's twisted and counterfeit Christendom, compassion is relentlessly used as a weapon to assault all those such as me today who are trying to point out the facts of this great difference, skillfully, cunningly propagated by Satan, where such a person preaching against the sin of homosexuality is quickly accused of being uncompassionate, a homosexual basher, of being homophobic, and so forth. Yes, the reality, what the counterfeit Christendom, the homosexual agendas people cannot fathom, is that Jesus, who is love personified, Jesus, who is love personified, condemns the sin of homosexuality in the strongest possible terms as the very, very opposite of Christianity. More than 30 times in Scripture, in both the New and the Old Testament. Now, counterfeit Christianity not being able to deny this fact, they try to twist the Bible to say it means something different. They cannot comprehend that this loving scriptural Jesus hates all sin, the thousands of sins, so much that he rained fire and brimstone down from heaven, destroying the entire city of Sodom, which may have been populated by 50,000 people, as an example of his hyper-exceeding wrath then and also for the future. Now going deeper into our scripture reading of this morning, we can see how the entire Trinity hates the sin of homosexuality and is also involved in its dramatic destruction. Abraham, from 20 miles away, saw the huge clouds of fiery destruction to the east of Sodom. For Jesus in his Old Testament body came to Abraham to tell him that he was going to destroy Sodom specifically for their great wickedness, especially of the sin of homosexuality. You know, Abraham pleaded if 10 righteous people could be found in the city, that Jesus would spare it. He was pleading for the 10 members of Lot's family. But even that, the 10 righteous could not be found in Sodom. Yes, Jesus and his 2 accompanying angels then personally walked down the streets of Sodom and saw the city's gross wickedness with their own eyes. Oh, what horrors they saw. Soon they attracted the attention of Sodom's wicked people, a crowd. The wicked crowd forced them back into Lot's house. Oh, read the horror. It is too horrible, too wicked for words. For Sodom's citizens, they demanded that Lot release his heavenly guests to them. For the whole crowd demanded to be able to personally abuse heaven's inhabitants. Ho tried to imagine that indignation against Jesus for their lust of homosexuality knew no bounds. When Lot refused, they tried to beat his door down and get at Jesus and the angels. But Jesus, from inside the house, we know, blinded their eyes that they wearied themselves even trying to find the door. Jesus, now in indignation, told Lot to go out and to talk to the 10 of his family that they must leave Sodom immediately, for he was going to destroy the entire city. Now we read that his other daughters and his son-in-laws laughed Lot to scorn and refused to leave Sodom. Now it is near morning, and only Lot and his wife and two of his daughters are gathered and ready to leave. But they are hesitating, for everything they valued was sadly in this doomed, wicked city. Oh, if only they had stayed with Father Abraham and not ventured into Sodom initially, where they now were about to lose everything. Now finally, Jesus and the angels physically take Lot's arm, his wife and his two daughters by hand, and literally carry them hastily out of the city. Once out of Sodom, the sun is dawning. Now Jesus turns around, and we read of the great fire and brimstone that he rains down upon Sodom, burning everything to a crisp, specifically because of their great sin of homosexuality, for he said their sin was very, very grievous. Sodom was destroyed, but it was not just Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, raining down destruction. But this fire came also down from the first and the third person of the Trinity. We can read this in verse 24, where the Lord Jesus did this, but also that there was fire sent down from the Lord, the first and the third person out of heaven. Yes, Jehovah, the Trinity, expressed their rebuke, their revulsion for the sin of homosexuality. It could not be more clear. Sodom is an example for us also today. God used the entire chapter out of Scripture to illustrate his anger for this repulsive sin. He taught his church this by the Holy Spirit for nearly 6,000 years. Oh, how could anyone today somehow imagine that God, the immutable one, who cannot change, has changed? It is nonsense. God has not changed. What God hated 4,000 years ago and destroyed Sodom for, he still hates today with the same fierce anger. Do not deceive yourself. This generation of counterfeit Christendom is dreaming great delusions if they imagine they shall somehow escape Sodom's judgment. Now, I have personally been in southern Israel and looked over the area where the great city of Sodom once stood. And 4,000 years later, God's curse still reveals itself there. The city of Sodom has sunk into the Dead Sea, covered entirely by the bitter salt waters of the Dead Sea. Nothing can grow there. Nothing grows in it. God's curse is very real there. 4,000 years later, as an example for all of us today, and not one person should doubt God's hyper-exceeding anger against the sin of homosexuality, equally fierce today. To those church leaders who claim it is homophobic to point out God's truth out of His Word, it is important to point out the gross hypocrisy of such charges, in that there are far, far more members in any church which are adulterers, thieves, liars, Sabbath breakers, murderers, than there are homosexuals in any church, by far. For example, if we look at God's express standard of adultery, that anyone who looks upon another in lust has already committed adultery, then we can get some feel for the magnitude of sin that exists within the church. And by and for counterfeit Christendom's twisted logic, all these sins then too should no longer be sins either, which logic completely overturns the Ten Commandments. Oh, that is not compassion, but chaos. Absolute chaos would erupt in the church, which is, of course, the exact goal of Satan in the sin of homosexuality and the unenforceability of the Ten Commandments. For the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. Yes, now today we have the sin of homosexuality even decreed as the law of the land by the United States Supreme Court, which affects every church and every aspect of Christian. It is an existential threat to true Christianity. Oh, let me say it again. It is an existential threat to true Christianity. We cannot survive. Christianity cannot survive the destruction of the Ten Commandments, the accepting of open sin as a new holiness. Look at even further. The Equality Act declared American law by the Supreme Court this year, has decreed that no church can deny any position to anyone committing the sin of homosexuality. Oh, what does that mean? This means that any church must accept ministers, office bearers, leaders, and so forth. Anyone that openly violates Scripture with open sin. How do you see the problem? No organized church can survive, can escape. For if they refuse to obey God's law instead of man's law, all their property can be taken away for non-compliance. He asked the Equality Act and the acts of the Supreme Court, approving and making the law of homosexuality real, is Satan's great tool today to bring evil into the church and destroy it. What an unfathomable crisis faces Christendom and the church today. The government and the church are supposed to be twins in the promotion of Christian worship to the masses. However, when the government forces the church to obey its evil laws of open sin brought into the church instead of God's scripture, then all human hope is lost. Yes, the national government will enforce the Equality Act with fines, imprisonments, and yes, even death if necessary. It is Satan's tool. True Christianity's future looks grim as 99% of Christendom churches, we fear, are intent to relentlessly accept some form of homosexuality in their church to keep their property, to keep their doors open, to keep the people coming, imagining this is serving God. True Christianity's future looks very grim. For if you refuse to accept the sin of homosexuality in your church, your organization, your life, you will be made the criminal. Look at the millennial generation. 99% of millennial Christians believe homosexuality should be allowed in the church. Oh, you can count on that disaster. Thousands of times in history, Satan forced Christianity into this type of crisis of obeying God or but obeying man. Just read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see the horrors of history done by Satan. And Satan, you may be certain, Satan is no kinder today. He has many forms of persecution, including the persecution of prosperity, which has led us to the crisis of today. Amos's famine has plagued America for this generation, the famine of hearing the pure word of God. Yes, today, every Christian is faced with this great crisis of this generation. Either you accept God's word and His law, or you follow the political correctness of man's law, the Supreme Court's law. This is the grimmest of realities true Christendom faces today. We cannot survive. It is an existential crisis we must address. No one shall escape this dilemma except those who abandon and depart from the establishment church and worship privately in their own homes, in caves, in mountains, in the wilderness, and so forth. But for those who are discouraged, God has so preserved his church in the wilderness for 6,000 years. For example, history shows us clearly that for the first 312 years of Christianity, Christians were persecuted violently. They could not own houses or property, could not get jobs, could not live as normal people in the Roman Empire. They were persecuted by the government, and many were killed trying to be faithful to Christ. Oh, it was a time of unspeakable cruelty against Christians who would not bow to the laws made by the country, by man, choosing as Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But here is the happy ending. Amazingly, instead of perishing in those 312 years, Christianity grew rapidly in the wilderness of persecution at an astounding pace. Until in the year 312, they had grown so large and so powerful that they took over the Roman Empire that had persecuted them for 300 years. The same can happen today if we flee the establishment churches that are accepting the sin of homosexuality and destroying the Ten Commandments and themselves. Yes, God always preserves his remnant, though they suffer great tribulation. Do not be deceived. Those who vainly imagine that God will preserve their large establishment church while it corrupts itself with the sin of homosexuality, forget that God promises to destroy only his pure church, only his pure church, hiding in the wilderness and in the mountains, and not the large, corrupt establishment churches immersing themselves in open sin, which they are calling holiness. Yes, God will not preserve such a church. That verse does not apply to them. God will certainly destroy such churches that embrace open sin. There can be no doubt about it. So this sermon in the first place is about compassion and sin in general, concerning the many thousands of different kinds of sin which exist in the world. All of them come from Satan, and all of them come through the door of sin, which Satan, our covenant head, opened in the deep fall of Adam. Do you ever lament that first great sin, original sin, and how the word compassion has been dramatically offered to mean something today God never, never intended it to mean? Oh, God is speaking loudly to us today, and we see that he has spoken not just his word, but COVID-19, the pandemic of this plague, has been sent by God as a thunderclap to bring all the world to its knees, cowering in their house from an invisible germ. Oh, we may fear if we do not repent as the king of Nineveh repented, and that there is more plagues to come. Everyone is putting their hope in a vaccine, and that we can then get back to normal. But I am here to tell you, we may very well fear that this is only the first of many plagues that have already come upon America and will come upon the world unless we repent and turn from our sins. Oh, the city of Sodom is just one example of a thousand different sins that have brought these plagues upon us. We must repent of them. We must repent today. Oh, hear the word of God where he says to church leaders especially, who we must warn today. If you are a church leader and are openly accepting the sin of homosexuality in your church, read in your Bible of what the end is. Jesus clearly says this in Romans, in John 19, verse 11. He will destroy them. He will consume them in his wrath. Yes, oh, it is too hard to almost say, but with tears and with all my heart I say to church leaders who accept the sin of homosexuality in their churches, they shall meet a closed door at heaven's gate at their death. And I can tell you with absolute certainty, such leaders of Christianity shall say to Jesus, "Open, open, Lord, for we have preached thy name in the streets. We have sat at thy sacrament table. We have done miracles in the street in thy name. Open up now to us." But Jesus will say those awful, awful words, "I never knew you. I never knew you, not once. Depart from me. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Oh, come then, let us repent today, while there is yet life, while there is yet an opportunity. And for those repenting ones, I may say, those who are poor and needy and missing, longing for purification from sin, that as Moses has lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, so by God's authority I may lift up Jesus Christ, whom he has lifted up in the Bible for lost sinners. It is still possible to be saved. Repent today. Repent.